Hello and welcome to another episode of FPL Kopi Talks. I'm ABK.
I'm Lukman. So if you guys have noticed us ramping up our socials, also our spruced up thumbnails and posting, one man is responsible for all that. And I'm thrilled to have him join the Kopi Talk family, and he is here on the pod with us today. Welcome to the pod,
Hello. What's up,
Anwar.
guys? Anwar over here.
You forgot to also mention the logo rebrand.
Yeah, yeah,
Oh,
yeah.
yeah.
So I think the logo was quite cute. It's good for two seasons. I think going into season three, we need something to freshen it up. I think the orange was good, but we need a bit more oomph. We need a bit more zest to put FPL Kopi Talks to the next level. Let's go!
All right, thanks for we are pleased to have you join our small little humble team, man. I mean,
More than happy.
and if you guys are listening, right, if you guys haven't seen all our socials, right, do follow, especially the IG. Our IG is the one where we post most of our content, thanks to Anwar here. Before we get into the show, also follow us on X. I control the main page for our pod, and also yeah, that's about it. ABK?
We gotta start
Yeah.
TikTok soon too, right? But that's in the
Actually,
pipeline.
I started TikTok already, but low key, low key. And
Yeah. Slowly lah, slowly.
slowly,
There's
okay.
a Malay term called plan plan kayo, which means that we slowly, slowly cycle.
Okay, all right.
Anyway, do join also our Telegram channel for the league code to our prize league, where the season winner will receive a Premier League jersey of choice. This is also a space where we interact with our FPL community. You may find all the links to our socials in the description. And without further ado, grab your beverage of choice and let's get into it.
Boss, kopi o satu boss.
You're listening to FPL Kopi Talks.
It's Freddie Ljungberg again, push out by Bartes. Wilson!
Right here. Right now.
Okay, so Anu, tell us about yourself, man. How long have you been playing FPL and who do you support?
I've been playing FPL for the longest time, but FPL is a game where you really, it's a marathon, it's not a race, you know. And then I've never really had friends who would stick through me through the 38 game season. So I mainly play FPL on a week by week basis, on a banter basis. But I guess it's time to hunker down, it's time to get serious. I think there's a lot of things about FPL that I really enjoy. And if you're asking me who I support, I'm buzzing right now, bro. I'm buzzing right now. Remember what happened last night, 2 a.m., bro. Buzzing right now. Darwin Núñez, Liverpool, all the way, bro.
All right. Okay, wait.
Ten men. We'll talk more about it later,
Yeah.
For now,
Buzzing.
let's get to know
Wait,
Anwar
wait,
better.
okay, wait. Yeah, well, so quick, just quick about us. So, how long have you been listening to us, and why do you decided to join us?
So I've been listening to FPL Kopi Talks on and off. Like I told you guys, I've been playing FPL for quite a while now. One of the reasons why I really fell off was because of COVID. You know, COVID. So COVID happened, and then I keep missing game weeks, and then I keep missing all the different news channels and all this. And that's where I started looking out for FPL content to keep me updated on the latest FPL news. And it was interesting to see that we actually have interesting local content on FPL Kopi Talks, and I got started from there. And I see you guys are really consistent, and I feel that I want to be part of this team, man.
Nice one, bro. Anything on AVK before we move on?
I'm just pulling up your game week history.
Come on.
Your as in your FPL history.
For this year or history?
History. So you can't run away from it. So it's like last season you ended up 4 million. This 2 seasons ago, 1 million, and then the 3 seasons before that was 848K. So pretty dire record. But
It
then
is, it is.
I want to say that this season you've had a pretty good start. I mean, you blow both me and Lukman out of the water with your start. So what I want to ask you is, do you think you fancy yourself beating us this season?
Bro, that was too easy, bro. That was too easy, man. Okay, so the thing about FPL is a bit like dwelling in stocks, dwelling in investments, right? So when you first start off, there's a lot of emotions going into it. And I think after COVID and all this, I've matured down, I hunkered down a little bit. I'm looking at the stats, I'm looking at the right players, I'm putting emotions aside. I'm just a cold-blooded FPL manager this year, man. So this is what's going to get me over the line, man. This is what's going to get me over the line. Who's this? Who's the top of the FPL league? Watch out, man. Watch out. I'm coming for you.
Wait. Okay, let's talk about Liverpool and FPL. How do you balance out your love for Liverpool and FPL?
So for the longest time, it was always easy, right? Salah was getting all the points, yeah. Right? So right now Salah's going to get the points soon. I mean,
in the Saudi Fantasy League or the Premier League, bro?
Wait. After 31st August, we speak again, right? Okay. After 31st August, we speak again. But I'm pretty sure he's here to stay. His worst game, you're looking at 5 points, 4 points. Okay. You're saying Haaland is the points machine. Come on, guys. Awoni is getting more points than Haaland this year.
Really?
Salah's in the game. We're going to talk more about that later.
Oh my God. Yeah, I was just thinking of Awoni. Because last week, right, you wanted us to talk about Awoni, but I snapped you off because it was between Risa, Jackson, and Alvarez, right? But I didn't hit your choice on Awoni. But yeah, good choice, bro.
You guys are too mainstream, man. Not hitting the money ball.
Shall we start content proper, guys? Ready?
Sure.
Let's do that.
Okay, let's start out with standout performance. So players who exceeded our FPL expectations this week. So let's start with Chelsea. So it's only Luton. So that's a caveat. Okay, so Luton is pretty bad. I think they're pretty bad. I think they're pretty much the whipping boys together with Sheffield, I feel. Let's talk about Raheem Sterling. 19 points. 19 points. You don't get 19 points so easily, man. So what do you think on Sterling, guys? I don't know. Why don't we start?
Sterling, 19 points. Okay, I think you missed out Luton, Sheffield and Everton, bro. But a bit more about that later. Okay. No, Raheem Sterling, 19 points. I think, again, this opposition, it was a really easy opposition. And I think a lot of the attack was coming on the right side. So Raheem Sterling was really the main focal point. He just had to convert. And I think on this day, he converted. Whether he could really go on to be consistent in this output, with this kind of output, is really a big question mark for me, at least. That's my take.
Yeah, so I think I got a similar kind of thinking with Anwar. Game week one, right? March actually delivered 9 points against Luton. And this time, Sterling delivered 19 points. So I think there's a case to, I was listening to people talk, I think there's a case to target the right wingers that play against Luton. Yeah, so that'd be quite an interesting strategy also if you want to look into that. But I think, yeah, for Sterling, I think for me, it's still kind of, I think we'll do kind of a comparison with different midfielders later. But I think it's kind of still wait and see. So we have to see whether it's really Sterling is able to perform or whether Luton is a team that, you know, it's weak and he is like a kind of flat track bully in this case.
I love Sterling, but I think I kind of broadly agree. Because the last game against West Ham, right, he had 0 shots. He actually could. I was thinking of him for the off the menu pick last week. But I'm thinking 0 shots against West Ham. You need to see more before really like banking on him. But 19 points is a killer, man. For those, I think there are a few numbers that have him. So yeah, it's quite annoying. And also Gusto. Anwar, you have.
Yeah. I kind of want to steer the conversation here a bit when we get to the defense. Yeah. So do you guys agree that a Chelsea defensive pick is a must have? Whether or not Chilwell or Gusto, yes or no? Simply
tough one. But for me, why I choose Gusto was merely for
no. I think
Chelsea must have or not.
Yeah, I think Chelsea defensive asset in your team, either Gusto or Chilwell. Is it a must have or not? Is it essential in your team?
I would say yes.
Yes,
because we look at the way they set up. Yeah.
Yeah, Lukman.
Yes, because of the fixtures mostly.
Yeah. Okay, and for me also, I think yes, because of the EO as well in a factor. So I think it's a must-have to get Chilwell or Gusto. Okay, but my next question to you guys is whether Gusto is a adequate replacement or adequate cover for Chilwell if you don't have Chilwell.
Wow, no. This is really tough, man.
I think I'll go with a no. I think Chilwell is playing more advanced. And I think his EO is much higher. I think like in another game, right, Gusto can will easily get 7 and Chilwell should have shot. Remember, you see his shot. Yeah. I think he passed to Sterling, right, I think.
Yeah, he passed to the Luton defender, bro.
Oh, yeah, sorry. He wanted to pass to Sterling. Yeah, so I think Chilwell is by far the greater pick. And I think you can't cover, man. And Gusto...
But is he worth 1.5... Well, now it's really like 1.5, 1.6 million more.
I kind of disagree, though, because I feel that as wingbacks, you're there to help with the attack. I mean, the goals will come in occasionally, but you're looking more at the assists. And I think on the right side, we have better supporting players for Gusto. And we have Raheem Sterling there. So for 4 million, while Reece James is out, and he's going to be out for a while, I think following his past season injury record, I think he's definitely a pick over Chilwell. It's the third game now, bro. Chilwell hasn't produced much output despite all the hype surrounding him. Right, and I think that's because he doesn't have a good left attacking midfielder. I mean, Enzo played there. They had Chukwuemeke playing before that.
No, actually, Chilwell is the left winger. I think he's basically the left winger on the team. Like,
it's a
back four. I think it's more of a back four.
It's a back five.
But Chilwell never defended. I don't think he defends. Gusto is more reserved.
Yeah. Exactly, right?
So Chilwell is basically being left wing. That's why I'm thinking.
Exactly, and he hasn't been producing.
Yeah, but the numbers are there.
Yeah, okay, but then the thing is Gusto. So I mean, you look at the kind of assist that he got. Sterling did all the work,
assist,
man.
His first assist is you also can assist that one, bro. Yeah, a 5-yard pass, bro.
But it's 4 million, bro. You got 5.1.
Yeah,
million,
see, I think the argument here is the price point, like. I mean, 4 million to cover a 5.5 million asset. I think if you don't have 5.5 million somehow, then you can just cover with Gusto, I suppose. Okay, but then now my next question after that is it a viable strategy to go with both Chilwell and Gusto on your team?
I'll go with a no.
I wouldn't double down on the Chelsea defense.
Actually, I think yes. I think just play the fixtures. Okay. Play the fixtures. I think the next 5 fixtures, I think game week 8, it's a solid fixtures for Chelsea. And I think 4 million is a good value for a Chelsea defender. So I would say play the fixtures. You can go with both. And after game week 8, if you want to drop one, you can go ahead to drop one.
I'm just going to question you there. So if Reece James come back, then what are you going to do with the 4 million on Gusto?
You can just put him on the bench, bro. You don't need him.
Okay, let's say you have Chilwell now, right? I wouldn't buy Gusto. You know what I mean? If you have Gusto, I will have Chilwell. Like, if you have Gusto and no Chilwell, then maybe I wouldn't mind doubling up because I think Chilwell is quite essential. But if you have Chilwell, I wouldn't buy Gusto. I'll probably even double up on the attack if you want to play the fixtures. And I think they are enough.
Okay.
Raheem. There's one more guy. I will talk about him later. It's a surprise. So
I'm done with my Chelsea defense inquisition. So
okay, go ahead. Wait, you're thinking of buying Gusto, is it? EBK?
No, not in the moment. As in, I think I have other things.
Don't chase points, bro. Don't chase points. FYI. Okay, let's move on to the next standout performer is Big Ange Spurs. So back to back clean sheets. Back to back clean sheets. So I still don't think they are a good defensive team because of the way they set up. So what do you want? Let's start with Anwar.
I think Lukman, I gotta tell you, don't try to run away from your destiny, bro. It's calling for you, bro. You know who I'm talking about, not? You know who I'm talking about?
I know. I still think Udogi is a bad pick. I think Spurs, Udogi is playing an inverted midfielder. So he's basically playing like a center mid. I know he got 12 points. I know Spurs got a clean sheet, but I don't think they will keep a lot of clean sheets this season. I still think their defense is pretty bad. They got lucky. And I think Udogi, I know he's cheap. I think he's fine for 4.5, but no, I prefer like Rico Henry over him.
I think you're underestimating Big Ange here, man. If you look at the last game they played, right, they won 2-0, right? Halfway through the game, he felt that they're losing something out there. He brought in Højbjerg to show up the defense. And Bissouma is having a hell of a first 3 games, man. And I think on paper, yes, they may not look like the best defensive team. They may look like all-out attacking team. But I feel that there's a lot of structure in this Spurs team. And a lot of the players have bought into that. So you look at how Saar is running up and down the pitch, helping out in the defense. Bissouma, like I said, really, really. I think Udogi, I'm really looking at him. I think he can give you the attacking output. And the rest of his teammates can help them with the defensive, with showing up the defense, man. So I think Destiny... Spurs has been an interesting watch, man. Spurs has been an interesting watch.
I think the thing with Spurs for me is I think the next two fixtures are great. Yeah. But after that, I think
Burnley and Sheffield.
They have two tough fixtures. So
I don't think Arsenal and Liverpool are tough fixtures for Madison. Okay, let's talk about it. They are attacking. I think the only viable one is Madison. Do you all agree? Last week's OTM pick.
Was Kulusevski lah, but as in, I would say the best pick at the moment is Madison now.
I think he's the only attacking asset pick that is viable. I wouldn't go for Sun because he's so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
If you have Richarlison, you just sell right now. Don't even think about it. Right now, you go to your app and you sell him for. There's a lot of players you can just
take the hit, man. Take the hit.
Take the hit. I have a feeling Sun will play center forward. I think towards the end of the game, Richarlison got subbed off and Sun and Kulu played more centrally. So I think Perisic might start as left wing. 4.9 defender as a left wing. That could be an option. Possible option. Because I'm thinking Richarlison, there's no way he will. If Richarlison don't start anymore, right? Perisic will probably start left wing because Sun will go in the middle. So that could be someone we could keep an eye on. Mm. But yeah. Abigail?
Yeah. I like Madison. I mean, I don't think he's the only pick. I think you can consider Kulusevski also. But then I think Kulusevski is 7 million, right? 7 million.
I don't care. He's not. I don't know. I still stand by my point that I don't think he looks the same. And you just. He's similar to Madison, right? It's not worth it to just go for him over Madison. Madison is the main guy, man. He's the main guy.
Yeah. I mean, if it is a decision to be made now, go for Madison. Don't go for someone else.
Okay. So, Kenny, our loyal listener, he asked a question. He wants to sell Martinelli or Rashford.
Rashford.
I think he has Saka and Bruno as well. So so let's choose for him. Let's sell him. Will you sell Martinelli or Rashford before we move on to the options? Maybe okay?
Martinelli or Rashford.
Yeah. Or none. Or role.
I think I'll sell Martinelli.
Okay. Reasons? Yeah.
Because Rashford, right? He has been operating as a forward in the first two game weeks. And then the moment he's got switched into the left side, the moment Martial comes on as a striker, he gets two assists in the game. Right. So I think the returns will come for Rashford. But for Martinelli, I think we haven't really seen much from him in his first three game weeks that would warrant keeping him in the team.
Yeah,
so I think I'll go for selling Martinelli over Rashford.
Initially, I was going to say Rashford because I have Rashford in my team and I'm just pissed that he's not been giving me the returns.
You want to sell him? Yeah, I think you're selling
initially.
Him?
Initially.
You have Martinelli?
I don't have Martinelli. I've got Saka. Okay. But if you ask me Rashford or Martinelli, I mean, it's a tough one. But honestly, I still pick Rashford.
So sell Martinelli.
And sell Martinelli. Sorry. Sell Rashford and keep Martinelli.
Oh, really?
I feel that Rashford played on the left with Martial up front, but we don't know whether that's going to be a permanent thing or not, whether that
Hoyland,
is going to be effective.
Yes, Hoyland, right? Hoyland's coming in.
But when? Surely, that's the question, when?
Was he on the bench?
He was on the bench.
Yeah.
So,
Martial didn't work. Martial, the experiment didn't work. I think he looked bad.
Exactly. So for now, for 9 million, if I were to sell Rashford, I would put in Bruno instead of Rashford. I think I picked the wrong United midfielder. I feel that Bruno has more involvement in the game. Rashford drifts in and out of the game. So I'll pick Rashford over Martinelli. And why I keep Martinelli is because I still trusting the process with Arteta.
Okay. For me, I will sell Martinelli. I think I wouldn't be surprised if Martinelli is rotated. I think that there's a chance. Trossard. There's a small chance. There's a small chance that Vieira, that's Trossard. I mean, Vieira probably putting his hands up to start the game and you don't know Trossard. There's a slight chance. And for me, Rashford, unless he's like walking on one leg, then he will definitely play, right? So I think that's one of the main reasons. And also, I still think, I think Martinelli, if you watch the game, I think Arsenal, the game, their tactics, right? Like Havertz and Trossard are basically the main guy up front, and Martinelli, the chances are not falling to him. I'm not feeling it for Arsenal. I know Man U, it hasn't been that good, so but if I were to choose someone, I'll sell Martinelli. Okay, let's go to the option. So let's rank these three midfielders. Okay, we do a quick one. Okay, so let's rank Foden, Sterling, and Madison. Okay, why don't Ibiki, you start with your just start with your first
okay,
one first.
I'll just rank all three straight away. Okay, Madison, Foden, Sterling.
Anna?
I'm going with Madison, Sterling, and Foden.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
I'm actually going Foden first and Sterling last. So Meadow in the middle. But Foden and Meadow. Wait, Anwar, say again, sorry.
I have Madison, Sterling, and Foden last.
All the friends.
Yeah, let's talk about Anwar. So why
Foden last, right? I just can't deal with this Pep roulette, man. I mean, you just look at
but
the
it's
last
not roulette, though.
Okay.
He wasn't started, what?
He wasn't started,
he's
bro.
Sick. He got
but he came on. Or something. He came on.
Because they needed him to score.
Exactly, bro. So, okay, I mean, that's the point, yeah. But the thing here is Madison is on free kicks. Madison is on corners. Madison is in up-and-coming team. And if you ask me, Sterling and Foden, I think Sterling is more of a main man at Chelsea. Foden is, you know, like what we look, he could be replaced by Doku. He could be replaced by anyone else there. And if you were to ask me to pick a team that maybe, or to pick one of these three that probably I keep in my squad, barring injuries, it'd be Madison or Sterling. I wouldn't have Foden in there.
Hey, BK, who's your first choice again? Sorry.
My first choice was Madison. I feel like Madison, he's been consistent. You look at the FPL history, past few seasons, even for Leicester that was relegated, he's always been racking up points consistently. I mean, he's not a player that you get points every week, but you get like points every once every two, three games, kind of deal, basically. Right? And then under a new setup in a better team, and then we've seen the past three game weeks, I think he looks quite promising, and I think he's in the middle of everything for Spurs, and then he's nailed. So that's why I'm going for Madison. All right. Okay. So the reason why I put Sterling last is because Sterling, I mean, there's still a lot that we need to see from him. I mean, last season hasn't been great for Sterling. All right. And then it's the same team that he's playing for, just under a different manager. All right. So we have to, I mean, he was only got like his first return against Luton. So for me, Sterling is like, wait and see. I'm going to put him on a last place. Yeah.
I think for me, Sterling last is because there are other options for Chelsea. Like Jackson. And then Meadow is my second. I don't know. I just like the upside of Foden. I mean, I don't have much to say. I know there's a lot of caveats, right? That he's not new. And I do agree with that. But I still like the explosiveness. I think Meadow is good. I can't play. I think Meadow is a safer pick. But if you want to feel lucky and if you are ranked very low, I think Foden is the one to. Because nobody will be looking at Foden now because he didn't start, right? But I still think he's a great differential. Let's move on to underperformers. So in this segment, we will talk about players that we expected more of in the game week. So let's start with Brighton. So they lost 3-1 to West Ham. So if you watch the game, right, I think it's one of those games that Brighton dominated. I think they got almost 80% possession. So we've seen this before. Remember last season, they lost 5-1 to Everton. And then the next game week, they beat Arsenal 3-0. So yeah, the way Dezerby plays, right, This sort of game do happen. So what you guys want to talk about Brighton? How are you feeling?
Yeah, I think I haven't really I wasn't really impressed by Brighton this game week. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing much else I wanna say about it. I just wanna
Estupinian? Let's talk about Estupinian. Are you worried? Are you gonna bench him?
No, I think with Estupinian, I think it's okay. I think he's a very highly owned player. I think how many percent is he owned now? In the whole game. I think everyone has him in the team. I think there's nothing to worry about in terms of Estupinian. But I think my controversial take is on Mitoma. I think if you have Mitoma and you don't have any other fires to fight in your team, I think he's a sell. Right? Yeah. The reason why I think so is because of his fixtures. Newcastle, Man U next. After that, he's an easy fixture against Bournemouth. Right? But after that, he has Villa away, Liverpool home, Man City away. Right? And I think it's
same
it's
reason.
A,
same, 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 same could be said about Estupinian, right? If you are,
yeah. But then the thing is with Estupinian, right? He's so highly owned. Everyone has him in the team, so it doesn't matter if you don't.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to go for the upside, and then Estupinian has already rose in price quite significantly. I think he's rose 0.2, 0.3 million. So I think Estupinian maybe just keep. For Mitoma, right, I think now is a good time to sell if you want to.
Anwar?
I kind of disagree, though. I feel that this Brighton team is a very exciting team to watch. They do the high press, they do the very, very, very incisive counters and all this. And against a team like West Ham, who sits deep, in fact, they started with three almost defensive midfielders in the squad with Alvarez, Ward-Prowse and Suchek. I think this Brighton team needs to learn how to break down low-lying block teams. So they had the possession, but they didn't know what to do with it. So you were saying that the upcoming fixtures are a challenging one, but we expect Newcastle to attack, we expect United to attack. And if anything, we saw last season when Brighton played against a very attacking Liverpool team, they were punished, man. Liverpool were punished. So I think that I'll keep Mitoma in the squad. He will punish any defensive errors, he'll be on the latching end of any counter-attack. And I think Estupinian, Mitoma on the left wing, that's a combination that we keep at least until after this trial of fire is over, man.
Okay, yeah. I think Estupinian is an okay sell/bench. I think, okay, the stats, right, they are XGC, right, they are the second worst for the first three games, and they played Luton, Wolves and West Ham. So I think they are not going to keep clean sheets. We have to depend on attacking returns for Estupinian, which is harder. So I don't mind benching or selling Estupinian, to be honest. I don't think he'll be highly owned, or rather his EO wouldn't be that high. So I think most people might sell or bench also. I have a feeling. So yeah. But I agree on Mitoma, I guess. I think Mitoma is a fine keep. I'd rather sell S2 first over Mitoma. Unless you're buying Foden or Medola.
I think I feel that that why I say sell, right, is I think there are upsides with other midfielders, right? Keeping him in your team,
that's true,
right? It's not so much that he's a bad player, you know. It's more that I think there are a lot of other options. We mentioned Madison, Sterling, who's the third guy, Foden. Yeah, so there's a lot of mid-price midfielders, right, that you can go into to benefit from in the next few years. Not saying that he's a bad player, but I think there's upside in other players. So I think that's more of that rationale than anything with that call on Mitoma.
Okay, so if you still have Pedro, I still think he is, you just bench or sell, right? You're still sitting off with Pedro. I think you just cut your losses. I don't think he'll be, although he did look good from the highlights I saw when he came on, but there's still the risk of rotation.
I think something's going on, man. I don't know why he's not replacing Enciso when Enciso's off. Like something's going on. Like
Enciso's injured, bro.
Yeah, Enciso's injured. We expect your Pedro to take his spot back, right?
Yeah,
he didn't. So I don't know. There's something going on, like on the training ground, maybe that we're not aware of.
There's something Welbeck has on Dizabia. Yeah. That's why he's playing every more game.
Or maybe he was sulking there. He got benched in the game, and then he threw a tantrum, and then Dizabia didn't like that. I think a similar thing happened with Trossard, right? Trossard was making some noise, and then Dizabia was was going hard on him.
Yeah, but Pedro is a record signing. They're record signing, so. You've got to be persistent. Okay, anyway, let's move on to your team, ABK Arsenal. So I own Martinelli. I'm thinking of getting rid of him. Not urgent, though. So what do you think? Okay, just talk about Martinelli before we talk about the team.
Yeah, I think if you don't have any other fires to fight, I think just get Martinelli out of the team. I felt like, okay, watching the game, right, a lot of the attack came from the right side. Right, I think Martinelli looked kind of isolated. Like, he didn't really have anyone to kind of play with, right? But that's it, right? When Jesus comes back in the team, Jesus came on as a bench, right? When Jesus comes on, Jesus has a tendency to move to the left.
Yes.
And I think a lot of the link-up play last season we saw came from the left side. So I think that's one thing to consider when you look at Martinelli. With Jesus coming back into the squad, which he will be very soon. I think maybe for the Man U game, he starts already, right? I think you'll see a lot more things coming from the left. So actually, maybe I started off saying that maybe Martinelli is a sell, but I think maybe just by saying, I think just by thinking about this Jesus situation, I think maybe hold.
Okay, what are your predictions for the Man U game, man? What kind of scoreline do you see? 2-2? I'm thinking 2-2. Do you agree?
2-2? No, definitely not 2-2, bro. 2-0, bro.
Who? Man U 2? Okay.
Who's playing at home?
Arsenal's playing at home.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. VR is kept.
I'm not sure where you get the two goals from Man U, but Yeah, I think
Bruno,
two-nil.
Bro, Arsenal defense is not that good. At home, especially, they were definitely
concede. Okay, Gabriel will come back on. I know we say this every pod.
No.
I know we say this every pod, but Gabriel will come back on this game. All right, I am pretty sure of that. Because
Danny left already.
Because it's a harder opponent. So I think he's going to set up with four defenders instead. Yeah. I think this is the first like hard opponent that Arsenal has.
I think Havertz will definitely not play. I think he goes back to midfield with Rice. That's for sure.
I think it's now Arteta. You don't know what is going on in his head.
But I think it's Havertz. I find that Martinelli is not, like, he's a bit disjointed from the rest of the team. And I feel, I think it's probably Havertz, man. Yeah, really, really. Yeah. Like, on the right side, you see Odegaard, you see Rice and who was it? Partey and Ben White linking up. On the left side, it was just a bit more. It doesn't help that the left back is more of a, you know, like back three when they set up in attack. So, yeah, if Havertz.
But do you see Havertz getting dropped? Do you see Havertz getting dropped?
I don't know. I need to ask ABK on this, man. Do you see him getting dropped?
I mean, he's been playing many minutes, and Arteta doesn't seem to want to drop him. So I don't think he'll be dropped.
Which is bad for Martinelli, right?
I think if anything, right?
If you agree with Arnaud's point.
No. I think if anything, right, I think Partey will be dropped.
Why though?
I don't know, man. You don't know what's going on with Arteta's head.
But you just say it's a tough game. He'll play Partey and Rice in midfield because it's a quote-unquote tough game.
Yeah, right? that makes sense. Like, I think maybe Havertz will be dropped. Like, but I think for sure he'll be dropped. It's not a...
So do I say Martinelli?
Okay, I think Martinelli is still a hole. Like. As I mentioned, it's a Jesus factor when it comes to Martinelli. Right. Who's playing on the right side for Menu? Wan-Bissaka.
Yeah.
Actually, the thing with Wan-Bissaka is he's a good 1v1 defender. He's quick also. So I think Martinelli will have trouble playing against players like that.
Saka will feast on Dalot because Dalot is playing left back. And Lisandro is not that good. I think Saka will have a field day. Saka, sorry.
Yeah, so 2-0 to Arsenal.
But I feel like sometimes
2-2.
The last game, Arteta was overthinking a bit.
Tinkering.
Like then at halftime, it's like, oh no, I think I need a total new set of tactic. Brought in three players, tried to shave the shit bit.
I still don't know. I still can't figure out what Arteta is doing this season.
But whatever it is, I hope they keep doing this, man.
Okay. Let's move on to Kopi Takeaways. It's a segment where we talk about assets we are watching out for and maybe some trends and strategies for the upcoming game week. Let's talk about the big game. Our team, me and Anwar's team, Liverpool against Newcastle. Let's hear about it, man. What are your feelings, Anwar?
Not gonna lie, man. After the yellow card, after Van Dijk's red card, I was just like, I'm just happy to see this through without conceding another goal. But I think that Darwin Nunes gave that chaos factor, man. That chaos factor. And I would be surprised if Klopp does not pick him more in upcoming fixtures. I think with Salah, Diaz, Jota, the attack is good, it's clean, but it's not unpredictable, it's not incisive. And I think Darwin plays with his heart on his sleeve, and if Klopp wants to inject any more fire in the attack, we're going with Darwin, man. Better than Haaland.
Okay, I don't know. How EVK?
I got nothing really much to add with this game. Yeah, I haven't really caught up with this game, actually, to be honest. It was last night.
I don't want to go too long about this game. I think most of it is not FPL relevant because I'm a Liverpool fan. I'm quite passionate. I think that we were just lucky to win. I think. Do you agree with that? We were just so lucky.
To be fair, if you guys who didn't watch the game and thought that, you know, Newcastle is not worth having assets from Newcastle, that's totally wrong. I think this loss was entirely up to Eddie Howe's naivety in his transfers. Substitution. I think he took out Tonali, he took out some of his best players that were performing in that game, like Anthony Gordon, and that was exactly what slipped them or cost them the game. But if you look at the performance, Tonali and even Anthony Gordon and even Isak, he had many chances And even this Almiron, Almiron hit the bar like two times, and if not for Alisson's wonder save, right, he could have been on a hat trick. So Almiron has also had a magnificent game. So this Newcastle team is still one to watch. It's still a factor. So it's not like they just bad overnight. It's just Eddie Howe made wrong decisions, made some bad substitutions, and yeah, it's
naive.
One more thing to add about the Newcastle team is that they are easing to really good fixtures. I think they have like Brighton first and then Brentford, but after that it's a sea of green. So I mean, if you want to get players from there, I think now is a good time to start bringing them in.
Exactly.
I'm not saying go bring them in now, but it's good to start bringing them in. I think one guy I'm really looking at, Newcastle, is Botman. Botman is in the defense.
Yeah. Actually, I'm looking at the game, right? I don't know whether Trippier will be worth his price tag. I think Tonali takes up a lot of the creative burden in the team on the right hand side. So I don't know whether Trippier is 6.5, right? I don't know whether he'll be worth it.
I was just going to get to that. I think Trippier, if you're looking for a premium defender, I think Trippier is going to be quite worth it. I saw, if you watch the Liverpool game, a lot of the attacking threats were from his side. But I think Robbo, Anthony Gordon was actually having a heyday against Trent Alexander-Arnold. So they focus a lot of the attack on there. But I think Trippier will come in with the crosses, will come in with the corners and all this. I think it's worth
it. I don't know, but 6.5. I'm waiting for Lewis Hall. 4.5 million. Their new left back. I'm thinking if he makes the team, I actually rate him. Actually, he's a good player. I think Liverpool should have bought him and replace Robbo. But I think if he makes the team, I think at 4.5 could be the way in. But not yet. But anyway, you were saying Almiron played well, right? I think if
Almiron played really well.
If Moussa Diaby was playing instead of Almiron for Newcastle, I think Newcastle win the game 4-0 easily. I think Almiron, the end product, it just let Newcastle down. So at the end of the day, right, they have to replace these players if they want to title. If they want to challenge for titles.
He hit the post. It was a definite goal. I mean, it's really unlucky. And Alisson's save was just out of this world, man. That would have been two easy goals any other day. XG 0.99999%.
Nah, I know, but his overall play, like he's just, you're not scared of him. Like if you look at Diaby, like somebody like Diaby is more clinical and more dangerous, I feel. I think Almiron, honestly, I wasn't even scared of him. I know he hit the post. But other than that, even Gordon, I think he got lucky with his goal. So, and I don't think like the end product is there.
That's because they look like...
It's
because they look like schoolboys.
Okay. Let's talk about Man United, because we don't want to alienate our Man United listeners, our fans. So let's talk about Bruno. Let's talk about the main guy, Bruno. Is he essential? I mean, you guys own Bruno, right?
Yep.
No, I got Rashford.
I got Bruno and Rashford.
I don't own Bruno, and I am scared. Honestly, should I just get Martinelli to Bruno?
I think yes.
Is he essential? What do you think?
If you say Martinelli to Bruno, I would say yes. Because I think Bruno, like I mentioned earlier in the pod, Bruno has a lot more involvement in the game. He's the captain. He tends to want to carry the game on his shoulder. So you see, when they were 2-0 down, he was taking the shots. He was pushing the team forward. And I think, he's on free kicks and all this. So I think Bruno is definitely a lot more potential in terms of points than Saka. And then Martinelli. Yeah.
No, but if you compare with the other options, like Sterling, Madison, Foden.
It's kind of a team structure kind of question with that. I mean, depends on who you already have and who you don't have. But I mean, he's a good pick. I mean, Bruno, after Arsenal, he also has a good run of fixtures also. So I think I'll be keeping Bruno in my team.
Yeah,
I think Bruno is an easy kill, but I'm just saying for us non-owners, right? I don't know. I am scared of him, but I don't think I'll go there. I already have Rashford for sure. I don't think I would double up. I still think they are still teething issues in this menu team is not so good. They are still not good, man. Even the goals is a penalty. Yeah. It's from a set piece. Casemiro was a set piece goal, right? Penalty. I mean, he could easily blank on another day, but yeah, I think I'm still afraid of him. But yeah, anything else on menu before we move on?
Nope.
But I could pick the referee. I'll put him in my team.
Who?
If I could pick the referee for the Man United game, I'll put him in my team.
Who's the referee?
I don't know who lah, but they got a penalty lah.
Who's the referee for the game, do you know?
Never mind, let's move on.
Evie, can you talk about team structure?
Yeah, so I think one thing I want to mention, right, is that I think for this season, right, there's so many options that are cheap. You know, I think we've lost all the premium players. We've lost Harry Kane.
Salah haven't go yet, bro.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know about Salah, lah, but I mean, there's only Haaland.
He's staying.
Yeah, okay. There's Salah. I mean, if you don't have Salah in your team, I think that's fine also because there are a lot of other options you can do, especially in the midfield. Right, so I think managers find themselves in a situation where they have like a lot of money in the bank. Like, I mean, there's a lot of money to spread around, right? But I think one thing I want to say, I think I'm looking at the Telegram channel, right, and people are sharing their kind of their bench, and then they show three game weeks, and then like I've been unlucky with my bench picks. I don't think it's luck, or I don't think it's unlucky that they are in this situation. I think it's unlucky because people are spreading their money into 15 different players. They're distributing their money to 15 different spots, and then they have 15 good players, and then every week is a benching headache. You have to pick three players that you want to bench, and it's sometimes it's difficult for you to pick that because some players are already like fixed into your team, right? So I think one thing I want to caution people when it comes to team structure is that I think you, although there are lots of options, although you can make a good 15, right, you're not bench boosting every week. You're only playing 11 players every week, right? So try to focus most of your money into 11 or 12 good players, right? Then rotate like within like one or two players only at most. Right, and if you can get like a fodder on the third spot, or like 4.0 in the second spot, I think playing 4.0 as the second spot, I think that's fine, right? Yeah. Because you don't want your team to have too many options, because when too many options, you won't get your decisions right every week, as to who you bench. So I think that's my kind of input for team structure, not to distribute your funds into 15 different players, but focus on the main 11, the people that you're going to start. Right? And then one other thing is that in the midfield, right, there are a lot of good options. There are a lot of good mid-price options. There's Foden. There's we mentioned, I mean, last week, this week, we have a discussion between Foden, Madison, Sterling. Last week, we were discussing Mitoma, March, and Bremo, and there's so many other different options. I'm talking about a range between 6.5 to 8.5, and this is where the value of your midfielders is. Right, so I really like a midfield with five men, a five man strong midfield. And with a five man strong midfield, one thing you have to take note of is you can't feel a tactic of five midfielders and three strikers. Right, there's no formation that allow you to do that in the FPL game, right? So if you are going for a five-man midfield, right, then your third striker, right, just buy a 4.5 million Cameron Archer or whoever who's not playing and stick him in the third of the bench. Like I mentioned, like you don't need to have 15 good players. Just get one 4.5 and throw him in your bench. So if your tactic is to go for five strong midfielders, right, this five strong midfielders, you don't want to be rotating them. You don't want to be taking Madison out, putting him on the bench, because these are 6.5 to 8.5 million players. You don't want to have 6.5, 8.5 million players on your bench. So if you have going for a tactic of going for five strong midfielders, go for two strikers, then that's it. Right? Don't think about the third striker. Don't think about trying to upgrade that third striker to someone else. Yeah. So I think that's my kind of take on the team structure.
Anwar?
Yeah, I gotta agree. There's a reason why these mid-price players are priced that way. I think the FPL scouts would have probably have done their own studies as well in terms of how much points they're expected to return. So I think the first three games what we saw was a lot of good 6.5 million midfielders getting lots of points in. And I think definitely a lot of us out there are feeling FOMO. Right, but I think if we look at historically the big points players, like I mean even Salah has not been performing, but he's consistently getting in at like 5 points, that 6 points coming in. I think I definitely have to agree with ABK on this one. Right. So don't feel too FOMO. Get in the right picks, focus on the team structure for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 game weeks. And then plan your transfers every other week or every week and see how you want to phase in and phase out the players that you think that's worthy to consider.
we will talk more about this on a wildcard. I think it's fine to, if your team is in bad shape, it's fine to wildcard now. But I don't think we'll talk more. We'll talk more about wildcard maybe in game week 8 or something. So speaking of value picks, let's move on to the off the menu segment where we pick a differential which is less than 5% owned. I will start with mine. Mine is Enzo Fernandez of Chelsea. So he is 4.5%.
Are you a casual, bro?
Bro, listen to my 4. He's 5 million. So basically, he, if you think of Maddison and Bruno, right, he's basically playing the same role. He's their number 10. So before Cuckoo comes back, right, he will be the number 10. I'm pretty sure. I think they have no other midfielders. I think even if Lavia comes back, right, he will play the double pivot with Caicedo. Right now, it's Caicedo and Gallagher. So basically, Enzo is the number 10 for Chelsea. And in my opinion, he's better than Bruno and Maddison in terms of creativity. So for me, he's just a value pick. And he's also on penalties from what we know. I mean, he took the first one, he missed. And he basically didn't return the last game because he just got unlucky. But he was there. He was basically the main guy. He's basically the number 10. So that is my off the menu pick.
Yeah, mine is a guy I mentioned in the first part of the season. Pedro Neto at 5.5 million. He got his first return in this game. I think he's just I rate him as a player. I think he's just gonna take along with the points as the season goes by. I think for 5.5 million, you get what you're paying for, like 5.5 million. But I think his points will come along for over the course of the season.
How many percent?
I think 0.2%, bro.
Okay, Anwar.
Okay, my off the menu pick is a guy who scored 9 goals in the last 7 Premier League games. Has 3 goals in 3 games so far against top oppositions. Half the price of Erling Haaland. More points than Erling Haaland. We're talking about Big Owo, Taiwo Awoniyi.
Is he less than 5% still?
It's 2.7%.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, but I think because he's at 6.5 million, he's more expensive than Wissa. And but if you look at Big Owo, right, that's his nickname, Big Owo, right, I think this could be the breakthrough season for him. All right, he's done it against Arsenal, he's done it against United, all right, and it does not matter, he's a striker. So if Nottingham Forest leaks like 10 goals and just gets in that one consolation goal, you still get points on him. And I think that he's got that strength, he's got that speed. And now he's showing that he's got that finishing prowess as well to complement all it takes for to be a top Premier League striker. So I'm really considering if I should move in for him early, right, and replace my Wissa.
For who?
Wissa! My Wissa.
But he's not on pens. That's the bad thing. If he's on pens,
they haven't had any.
Then, like, so I think Brennan is on pen. Brennan
might be bought by Tottenham.
I think Gibson is next. I think. So I don't think. Okay. Let's. So this Friday is the presidential election for Singapore. So I'm sure everyone wants to know. Everyone, I mean me. Who are you guys voting for?
Your vote is sacred, bro. Your vote is sacred, bro. Whatever it is, I vote. My vote will be for the best of Singapore's development in the next 5 years. Whoever I'm going to pick, I have full confidence that they will be able to lead Singapore in the direction that we want to.
So you're Taman lah?
Huh?
So you're voting for Taman?
Bro, I say my vote is secret.
Or anything, no, like clues or anything? No. Wrong channel lah.
What's the expected ownership for Taman?
I think last GE he got like 74%.
I think Tan Kin Lian is the off the menu pick, bro.
But I think I want to go for a low price midfielder. Like a mid price midfielder. All right. I think it's
I'll go for the explosive one. In NKS. So I know ABK is a government employee, so we should know who he's going to vote for. So if
I will be on 1st September, I will no longer be a government employee because my last day in the service is 31st August. And okay, I will to answer your question, I will not be voting this on 1st September because I'll be away overseas.
But who will you vote for
huh?
if you were voting?
I think I would just have gone for Taman, bro. Yeah, I think he's the best candidate.
Okay. Thanks for entertaining me for a good 2 minutes. So let's talk about teams. Okay, I think I'll start with my team. So I have a bad game week. I took a hit. I sold Visa and Luke Shaw I sold Pedro and Luke Shaw for Visa and Vardiol. So I ended up with 45 minus 4 points, 41 net. So my team is Pickford, Chilwell, Estupinan, Henry, Vardiol, Salah, Saka, Rashford, Martinelli, Captain Haaland, and Visa. So I'm ranked 3.2 million. So that is roughly the amount of people that is going to vote this Friday in Singapore. So for next week, my team, I'm right now at 4-4-2. So what do you think I should do, man? Should I roll? Or should I sell Martinelli? I think that's the only option.
Yeah, I mean, Martinelli is playing against
Wan-Bissaka.
Menu, right? Yeah, so yeah. I think if you don't have any other fires to fight, go for it, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking, I don't know. I don't mind keeping Martinelli, to be honest.
Yeah, because the thing is, right, Spurs, right, has two good fixtures in the next. They're playing Burnley. And then after that, they're playing Sheffield, right? So if you want to bring in Madison, right, you should
do it now.
Try to bring it now rather than later. Right? So if you have a route in, go for it, man.
Yeah. Okay. Let's quickly move on to ABK. How was your week?
So I pretty decent week. I took hits. In this game week as well, I took a minus 4. I actually wanted a 5-man midfield. I mentioned about how I'm a big fan of that. This season, I took I brought in Foden for my Dango. So my team name is Dango Unchained. So I finally changed out Dango already, my team. Yeah, so I brought in Foden. But in order for me to afford that, I had to take enable funds by downgrading TAA to Vardiol. And then because Shaw was injured as well, I brought in Chilwell, which is like a pick that I wanted to make anyway because it's a popular pick. Yeah, so I think Shaw's injury just came in nicely. La. So I got 56 points minus 4 points. How my team was set up was I had Pickford in goal, 3-5-2, Chilwell, Estupinian, Vardiol is my defense. Midfield, Foden, Rashford, Saka, Bruno, and Mitoma. Up front, I got Captain Haaland and Watkins. Yeah, so next game week, I'm actually looking to sell Rashford actually. Yeah, I think I don't want to have two menu midfielders. All right, so I have a decision between Bruno and Rashford. I think I'm going to sell Rashford and I want to bring in Madison in my team.
Can you afford Mitoma to Rashford to Madison?
No, I can't.
Wow.
That's the reason why it's Rashford going, not Mitoma. Yeah, I think that's about it. Yeah, I'm not going to change any other thing. Haaland will be my captain.
Rashford to Madison, huh? Yeah, I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Anwar?
Or roll.
Nah, I think I'm gonna do the medicine move. I don't want...
Because Menu is going to lose 2-0, right?
Yeah, Menu is going to lose 2-0. So I'm not going to have two Menu attackers.
Yeah. Right, Anwar? So this week I had to deal with Gabriel, Yao Pedro, and Shaw. So I decided to keep Shaw on the bench. Deal with Gabriel and Yao Pedro first. So these two is probably going to be... To move the points, basically. So I got lucky with Gusto, bringing Gusto. He had a 14-point week. And I brought in Visa in place of Yao Pedro. So I still got about 0.4 million in the bench. My team right now is Pickford. I'm really pissed off with him.
Wait, how many points did you get?
I got 61 points.
Yep. 61. His overall rank actually is 382K. It's better. Yeah. It's, I mentioned at the start of the pod, blow me and Lukman out of the water. Lukman's now on 3 million. I think I'm on still, like 2 million.
Still early, bro.
2.9 million.
It's literally.
It's a marathon, right? Somebody
yeah, it's a marathon, not a race. Not a race
sprint.
Yeah.
But so we started crawling, bro. Lukman and I.
But I think because, you know, like we used to having like these high pointers like Salah, Haaland, really starting the season running. But I think they're not getting us the points that we're hoping for.
Okay, continue on with your team.
So anyway, my team, I have Pickford in goal, Estupinian, Gusto, Saliba, five-man midfield with Salah, Diaby, Rashford, Mitoma, Saka. And I have Haaland and Wissa up front. So on the bench, I have Turner, Kabore, Shaw, and Wijo from Nottingham Forest.
What's your plan?
So I want to bring in... I'm not really happy with my attacking options right now, Wissa and Haaland. I mean, if anything, I feel that's the first...
Haaland?
Okay, not say Haaland, but I mean like Wissa partnering Haaland up front.
Okay.
So I feel that that's something that I want to look into. But if I were to move, I probably won't have enough points to make any decent moves next week. I'm happy with the team right now. So I'll probably roll my points and then deal with Shaw and maybe one other player next week to make...
So you can't do Wissa to Awani? Cannot. Big Awo? Okay.
Not enough money, I think. Eh?
Actually, I do have.
Then why?
Go for it, right?
But
Wissa plays against Bournemouth next, though.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to roll, probably going to roll this week's transfers.
You can sell Shaw, sir.
Yeah, but I don't have a defender to bring in at the moment. So yeah, I probably want to see how Gusto performs, how when Rhys James coming back, and see what my exit strategy from that.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so let's move on to Mini League. So in third place, we have Chris Chen with a team name Ronins. In second place, we have Leonard Chen, could be the brother of Chris Chen, with the team name Aces. So in number one, so he was number one in Game Week 1. Now he's number one again in Game Week 3, is Kinson Gun with the team name Gun Them Down. So he got a whopping 85 points. So he sold James for Gusto. That's his only transfer so far this season. So he still have two free transfers coming into Game Week 4. Crazy. So he got 85 points. His team is Onana, Estupinian, Saliba, Gusto, Udogi, Bruno, Madison, Saka, Diaby, Nick Jackson, and Captain Haaland. And he got... Remember I told you he got a strong bench? His bench is crazy. Yeah. He got Eze, Isak, and Konsa. He has Isak sitting there for the good run for Newcastle. Yeah. So it's quite crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a strong team, man. As in, what I was mentioning just now about having spreading your money into, not spreading your money into 15 players. I think he kind of did that with his team, right? But he's still doing so well. So I don't know what to say.
He's got a crystal ball, man. He got a crystal ball.
Okay, before we end it, how's the first spot, Anwar? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I hope this is the first of many, many, many pot that I can.
Yeah. So we're looking to get Anwar featured more regularly, in our pot. So do stay tuned,
So actually, Anwar come in a good timing because ABK, you wanna announce that about where
don't
you
need to
going.
Announce lah. But yeah, I would be going away for a bit, as in leaving the country for a bit.
So the time difference could be a problem. So that's where Anwar might step in. So yeah, you might not hear ABK or even me. It could be a 2-man pod, but yeah, hopefully it'll be a 3-man pod as much as possible. So so one more thing to shout out is I am posting these pods on YouTube. So if you guys want to listen to YouTube, on YouTube, the podcast, so just subscribe and like. And currently the YouTube one is just our voice, just with the thumbnail. But if you guys want to see our faces, right, do let ABK know, because he will be the one behind that being a possibility if you want to show our faces. So yeah, just if you guys want to see our faces during the pod, do hit up ABK.
Yes.
Don't forget to like all our socials as well. There's a lot of work going in there. I think what we're trying to do here is we try to put as much information out there to you guys on our IGX, on our TikTok. Okay, TikTok not yet, but soon, right? We'll sort out the TikTok function soon. But we're going to put as much analysis, as much information, as much hot takes out there for your consumption. So don't forget to like that so we can get more people in the community on board.
Yeah. So yeah, just as a reminder, we give out our Premier League jersey of choice also to the season winner of our league. So you can find the league code at the Telegram channel where we administer our league. And this is also the space where we interact with the community.
Yes, sir.
Lukman, are you saying something? You're muted, bro.
So we'll be podding next post game week 4, so there'll be international breaks, but we'll be podding right after game week 4. So yeah, so do follow us on the socials. Thanks for the pod, brothers. All the best. We are FPL Kopi Talks signing out.
You're listening to FPL Kopi Talks. Right here. Right now.